Take your Bible, if you will, please, and I'd like for you to turn to Joshua chapter number 13. Joshua chapter 13. Joshua chapter 13. Earlier today in the morning service, I announced that the sermon title tonight is The Best Years of Our Lives. Joshua chapter 13. Would you stand with me, please? We're going to read a couple of verses and then I'll refer to other verses tonight. Joshua chapter 13, verse number 1, the Bible says this: Now Joshua was old and well stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. This is the land that remaineth all the borders of the Philistines and Gershai. Let's pray. Father, bless us now. Meet with us. Help us tonight. Lord, I would like to challenge and encourage in a special way a unique group in our church. Obviously, Father, everything that's said tonight is for all of us, but some may be in a unique and special way. Bless us with thy Holy Spirit's presence. Calm us. Help everyone to be alert. Help the young people to pay attention. And God, give us a good night as we look at your word and we learn from it. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there. Let me say something, and I'll come back to this and probably repeat it in a moment. God is speaking to Joshua here. The Bible says that Joshua had become older, and he was well stricken in years. And God says to Joshua, he said, Joshua, you're well stricken in years. He said, but there is yet much land that needs to be possessed. In other words, Joshua had grown older, but God said, Joshua, I'm not finished with you. There are things yet for you to do. Did you know that in the age bracket of 50 years of age and above, that would include 30% of America? Now, let me explain something to you about that. What that means is this. 30%, that's almost one-third of the United States of America would be people that are 50 and older. If we're going to win America to Christ, I guess we're going to have to tell that age group about Jesus. And I guess that there's a pretty big workforce right there at age 50 and above. I don't know how much you've ever thought about it, but you take the age as we grow older, when you hit, and different people call the senior citizen years different things. But as we grow older, sometimes people get to thinking that God has no purpose for them anymore, and that serving God is for the young people. Now, I disagree with that 100%. There are a lot of wonderful things that are accomplished by people who've been around a while. I mean, just think about the men that have served as president of the United States. I did a little study, and I looked at the presidents and a few of the presidents that were older when they went into office. For instance, Abraham Lincoln was 52 when he went into office. George Washington was 57. And when he came out of office, he was 65. Thomas Jefferson was 57. And he served to age 65. President Bush, who just passed, was 64, and he served until he was 68. Now, Ronald Reagan was 69, and he served to age 77. Donald Trump, matter of fact, is the oldest president ever to go into office at 70 years of age. And I have to tell you something, whether you agree or disagree with President Trump on who he is and what he is, the guy's full of energy for a man that is over 70 years of age. He does not give you the impression that he is the oldest president ever to go into office. And so, don't get the idea because you've grown a little older in life that God doesn't have a plan for you and God doesn't have a purpose for you. There are some great men there that we just listed, and in the latter part of their life, they did we might call socially one of the biggest jobs you could do. I was looking at some other mature people and some of their accomplishments. How many of you have ever heard the name John Glenn? John Glenn went into space. You know how old he was when he did it? He was 77 years of age. 77. There's a man by the name of Bill Painter. He was 81 years of age. He climbed Mount Rainier. That's a 14,411-foot mountain that he climbed at 81 years of age. I don't like getting on the roof at my house. William Baldwin is 82 years of age, and he, believe it or not, is a tightrope walker. 82 years of age, he crossed the Boulder Canyon in Colorado, which was a 321 tightrope walk over that canyon at 82 years of age. Barbara Hillary, who happens to be a black lady who was a cancer survivor, at 75 years of age, she journeyed to make it to the North Pole. And she was so exhilarated at 79, she went to the South Pole, which makes her the only person at that age that went both to the North Pole to journey and then go to the South Pole. There's a man by the name of Alan Stewart. He is 91 years old, and at 91, he earned his law degree. I'm going to guess you 17-year-olds could get your high school degree if a 91-year-old man can get a law degree. A man by the name of Harry Bernstein published his very first book on his 96th birthday. That's 96 years old, and he published a book. Harry Shearer is 100 years of age, and he is an active water skier. That's something. Don't get to thinking because you're growing older that there's not things that you can do. You can, and you should. I was thinking of Brother Robert Acker. He'll turn 86 on December the 12th. Let me tell you something. He's here every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. He's in his place, still ushering, still doing what God has called him to do. Let me talk to you for a little while about continuing as you grow older. And for some of you, you young people, you say, "Oh, this is a sermon for the seniors, if you will, in our church." No, it'd be good for everybody to listen to this. Just so you know. Just seems like yesterday, young people, I was your age. Life passes far quicker than what you think. The Bible says life is like a vapor. One day you're young, and the next day, all of a sudden, you say, "Where did my life go?" And so, young people, you listen and you learn. But to those of you that maybe have a few more miles on you, you've been around for a while, let me challenge you tonight. God still has a purpose for you. When we were reading in Joshua chapter 13, God said to Joshua, he said, "Joshua, you're getting old. You're stricken in years." In other words, he's saying you're not as young as you used to be, and your age has slowed your body down some. But he made this statement to Joshua. He said, "There remaineth yet much land to be possessed." You remember Joshua was in on this promised land quest, and remember the 12 spies that went into Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good, and there was a land that needed to be taken. And Joshua was one of those that had a positive attitude about possessing the promised land. And now Joshua is old enough that God says, "You're well stricken in age," but God said, "But there's still land that needs to be possessed." God remembered the attitude that Joshua had when he was a younger man. And God remembered that Joshua said, "I want that mountain. I want to keep on going. Hey, we can get the promised land." And God said, "Don't you forget, Joshua. Don't you forget. You had an attitude to accomplish something when you were younger. Hey, don't lose your attitude of accomplishment as you grow older." Did you know that I think God was telling him there's territory yet to conquer and you're not dead yet. So don't act like it. Don't act like it. Did you know that Noah was 600 years old when the flood came and he built the ark? Did you know that Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born? Tell me if that was not a handful. After 100 years, the covenant was confirmed with Abraham. Moses was 80 years of age when he challenged Pharaoh about the captivity in Egypt. Aaron was 83 years old when God instructed him to cast down his rod before Pharaoh that it might turn into a snake. Sarah was 127 when she died and was nearly 100 when she gave birth to Isaac. I'm going to guess if Sarah can raise a baby at 100 and 120, that a 19, 20, 21, 22, 25-year-old woman can raise a baby for God. Caleb was in his 80s when he claimed the victory about the promised land. And God said to Joshua, he said, "Now Joshua, you're old and stricken in years, and thou art old, but there remaineth much land to possess." At the very end of my sermon, I'm going to make a statement, and the whole sermon would be worth preaching just for that one statement to be made. But I want you to know, America needs those of you who have some years on you. Your country needs you, and I'll tell you why. You know what America used to be, and she's not what she used to be. And we need you so this new generation has some sort of a connection to the greatness that is truly our heritage. Let's not leave this thing of God's will just to the young people. You know that everybody in here, if you're in your maybe your late 40s or 50s or 60s, and we have people in here that are in their 70s and 80s, let me tell you something. It's as important for you to be in God's will at this stage in your life as it was for you to be in God's will when you were a teenager. Now, I think there are some senior citizens in here. You're hip hip hooray for the young people, and you young people stay right with God, and you young people keep serving God, and you young people keep your eyes on the Lord. What might I say to everybody in here, including some of you gray hairs, you need to serve God and keep your eyes on the Lord, and God has a will for you. Just because you've lived some years does not mean that God has phased out a will for your life. You're to keep serving God. G. Campbell Morgan, at the age of 41, became the pastor of his great church. He pastored it for 15 years. He came to America to be an evangelist for 14 years, and after 14 years of evangelism in America, at age 70, he went back to England so he could pastor again for another 10 years, and he pastored until he was 80. I'm going to guess, even though he had a few miles on him, and even though he had some gray hair, maybe no hair at all, he decided, "I'm just going to keep serving God. I'm going to keep serving God." R.G. Lee went to his church in Memphis, Tennessee, and he pastored it for 41 years. At age 73, he resigned his pastorate and went into full-time evangelism, and was in evangelism until he was 93. Dr. Lee Robertson pastored his church for 60-some years. And I have to tell you, Lee Robertson now passed away a couple of years ago. He was still active in evangelism at age 97. He had his 97th birthday, and he was still actively traveling. He passed away that year. But I'm going to guess he was taking this thing pretty seriously as serving God to the end. I don't believe you're supposed to stop serving God as you grow older. The term old is relative. I don't think you're to retire on God. You may retire from some secular venture, but nobody is to retire on God. I want to recommend that you, I think you ought to stay as healthy as you possibly can as you grow older. I think you should do that for your husband, and you should do that for your wife, and you should do that for yourself, and you should do that for your children. But let me tell you something. Everybody in here, you ought to stay healthy so you can serve God. Do you know you might stay healthier if it was your goal to serve God with that health? It may just be God would give you a little extra blessing in your health if you said, "God, I want to be around a few more years so I can keep serving you." Use your senior years and use your retirement years for God. Did you know that God has spiritual goals and dreams for everybody's life? I watch people. There is a zeal and an energy and an excitement among people in their youth about serving God and doing something for God and accomplishing something for God. But I got to tell you, all of a sudden life hits and sometimes that zeal carries through when the children are little, but the average person, their kids hit the teenage years or they hit their mid years in their 40s and 50s, and suddenly they no longer have a passion to serve God. They'd like to just coast to the end. They don't really want to do anything for God, and they don't want their life to count for God. Can I tell y'all something? You know that 40 shouldn't even be halfway to the ending mark for some of you. Some of you are going to regret going into neutral so young in life, but I'm going to tell you, I'm very, very impressed with some of the great people in the Bible that kept serving God until their senior years were upon them. I want to call upon the mature, seasoned, experienced people in our church to make sure you just keep serving God. I'm going to make a few applications in that sense, and then we'll be done. For instance, some here can do more in these years of your life than what you did when you were younger. You can do more. You say, well, that doesn't sound reasonable. Did you know that Jesus said in John 14:2, he was talking to some people and he said, greater works than these shall ye do. What works? The works Jesus did. He said, greater works than these shall ye do. Now, the whole truth I want to pull out of that verse for a moment for you is this. Jesus was interested in people doing greater works. And I really do believe this. I believe there are some people in here, and maybe you're in your middle years, or you feel like you're climbing into the beginning, or maybe you're in the midst of your senior years. I can tell you something. I think there are people in here, you can do more for God now at this stage of your life and the last distance of your life than what you did in your youth. You say, how is that so? Well, in some cases, because you did little to nothing for Christ when you were young, now you can do something for Christ with the rest of your life. Maybe you were saved later in life. You say, I kind of wasted a portion of my life. I misused some of my teenage years and I misused some of my early years. But let me tell you something. You have life now and you've got the rest of your life. And I believe there are people that are in your middle years and in your senior years. You can do more from now to the time of your death than what you did in your youth, because you really didn't do much for God in your youth. Some here, you were saved early in life maybe, but you're backslidden. I meet people all the time. They were saved early in life. They got backslidden and they didn't serve God. And they grow older and they think, boy, I wasted my youth. I was saved, but I didn't do anything for God. You know what? If that's you, how about using the rest of your life and accomplish more from here to the end than what you accomplished from the day you were saved to now, because you just wasted it in a backslidden condition? Do you know, I think there are people that were saved early in life, but maybe you weren't in the right kind of a church. And I think there are people that get saved and they're a part of a church. And to a degree, the church is dead, or the church isn't excited about serving God. And the church doesn't talk about keeping people out of hell and reaching people and making a difference. And you were doing the best you could in the church that you were in, but nobody ever told you that you could have revival. And nobody ever told you that you could have the power of God on your life. And you didn't really know that. But now you found out you can. God can use you, and God wants to use you. And I realize usually you look to the young people and you say to the young preacher boys, fellas, stay on fire for God and serve God and make your life count and go out and do something for God. I'm not talking to the young people now. I'm talking to some of you that have been around for a while. You're not dead yet. Don't you roll over and play dead. You keep serving God. And what I'm recommending you will help you live longer. It'll help you live longer. You need to keep moving forward. And there are some here, I really believe, you can do more at this stage in your life and with the rest of your life than what you accomplished in the first part of your life, just because the first part of your life, it really wasn't productive for Christ. Number two, to be fair, and we all know this, You may not be able to do as much as what you once did, but you can still do something. We realize our bodies get older, and we might not be able to do what we once did, but we can do something. Did you know that in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 10, it says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." Thy might. Now, my might is my might. Brother Edwards, you'll have to use your might. I'll have to use my might. Everybody here, you have an energy. And your energy is not my energy, and my energy is not your energy, but you do have energy, and God said you are to use your energy to do what you do. That even means if you're in your senior years, whatever energy you have, God wants to use that energy, and God wants you to use that energy for Him. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, senior citizen, do it with thy might. Don't die. Don't give up. Serve God. Plan to keep going. Boy, you look at some of the great people in the Bible. Some of the people you admire most in the Bible were senior citizens. You don't know it. You just didn't realize how old they were. Some of the people you have admired in life have been people that have many years on them. They just kept on going. And so you might not be able to do as much as what you once did, but you can do something. Can I tell you something? Don't let your age lie to you. You can still serve God. Don't be a spectator. Be a participator. God won't require you to do what you can't do. That would be unfair. You know what? God would be bad if God required you to do what you can't do. But He will require you to do what you can. And you better figure out what you can. Hey, could I say this? Don't be an excuse maker. You know, people can develop an ability to come up with an excuse, every excuse under the sun, why I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't. Hey, those of you that have a few years on you, be careful with all this I can't stuff. I say to the young people, don't say I can't, say I can. Get up and make something happen. Use your life. Don't waste your life. Well, tonight I'm not talking to the young people. I'm talking to some of you. If you're not careful, you're going to play dead and you're going to end up dead because you're just wasting away because you're not using the life that God gave you. And you can't do what you once could. Maybe your body won't allow it, but you can do what you can do. You better figure it out and do it. God wants you to do what you can. He does want something out of you. If you're still alive, you're alive to serve Him. And everybody should do something more than just watch. So, I said number one, some of you could do more in the latter part of your life than what you did with the first part of your life. And for a variety of reasons. I said secondly, you might not be able to do what you once could do, but you can do something. Thirdly, we're not to live off of all of our memories in regard to our service of God. We're not to live off of all memories in regard to our service for our God. Do you know in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13, Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth. Now, we could say that Paul was recommending that we forget about our failures of the past and reach forth, or our sins of the past, and because we've been forgiven, reach forth. But I wonder if some of us need to forget about our successes of the past. Is your story all about what you did back then? Back then you served God. Back then you won people to Christ. Back then you were on fire for God. Back then you had the power of God on your life. You know something? You can't live back then. You live right here, right now. And I thank God for all that you have already accomplished for God. I'm not trying to minimize that. I'm trying to help you get some now memories so 10 years from now, you've got a more recent back then. Past memories can't take the place of what God wants to do in your present. Hey, is every testimony that you're able to give historical? I remember back when I was a kid, I served God. What have you been doing since? You think serving God's only for kids? You think serving God is only for the teenagers? You think serving God, boy, thank God for the young couples we have around here and they're rearing teenagers and children. Thank God for them. I'm going to tell you something. If we think that's going to make our church what it ought to be, you're sadly mistaken. We need everybody to do their part. And so, we can't live off of all the past memories. Are you a used to beer? Are all your soul winning experiences all from the past? You know, you don't have to be young to be a soul winner. Anybody can tell someone about Jesus. The only visitors and the only revival and the only thing that is exciting that's ever happened in your life, is it all in the past? I don't know why that would be necessary. Is God alive today? Look, if God can use an 18-year-old, can't God use a 58-year-old or a 68-year-old? Why, sure He can. Did you see any age requirements on the power of God? Nah. You see any age requirements on getting prayers answered? You see any age requirements on being biblically influential? No. Do you see any age requirements on somebody that gets excited for God? I like being around people that are excited for God. Tyler, how old's your grandpa?
82.
You got to get around Brother Hackworth. Man, that guy's a ball of energy. 82, and he'd put some of you in your 20s to shame. He's excited for God. Where in the Bible does it say you're to lose your excitement for God because you're old? Matter of fact, you ought to be more excited. You've been saved longer. You've watched God do more. We don't need the youth of America to lead America. We need the people that God has blessed for years and years and years to rise up and say, I'm going to serve God. I still believe in God. People ought to say amen the most ought to be the seniors. We can't live off of the past. Listen, I have to tell you, nobody has paid their dues. There's an attitude that develops. You get a little older, I paid my dues. Well, you look Jesus right square in the face and say, I paid you back everything I owe you for keeping me out of hell. I paid my dues. I serve God. I'm coasting in. Nobody's to coast in. I was deeply involved when I was younger. Everything past tense with you, huh? You know what Paul said? Paul said in Romans 1:14, I happen to believe in the New Testament, Paul, other than Jesus Christ, the best Christian in the New Testament, Paul said, I'm debtor. What do you mean? I'm in debt. You all say, me too. But not the same kind of debt here. I'm not talking about the bank. Paul said, I'm debtor. To who? Jesus. Paul was turning the world upside down for Christ. Paul could have said, paid my dues.
Yes, sir.
I did my part.
Yes, sir.
Paul said, I'm in debt. And everybody here, we're in debt. God sent His Son. He died for us. And the day you hit eternity in heaven, you're going to realize everything that you have inherited because of what He did. And for us to serve Him 60 or 70 or 80 years is a drop in the bucket to what it's going to be like in eternity. Keep serving God. Be careful not to think you're out of debt. There are actually people, I might not know who you are, but there's somebody sitting in here. You say, well, boy, I was really involved and I really served God in the past and I really tried to accomplish something for God. Well, what are you doing now? Have you actually developed the opinion that you've paid your dues? No, that's not possible. How could we ever be out of debt to God? We're to serve Him to the day we die. Not just love Him. Serve Him. Serve Him. Nobody could ever pay their dues to God. Nobody. Let me tell you something and I'll be done. Your body's going to be slower. Sure. You're older. Let me read a verse to you. I love this verse. Job chapter 12, verse 12. It says this. With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days, understanding. Your body may slow down. Your mind, though, has gained wisdom. and experience. And your spiritual life has gained a valuable knowledge. You may not feel as attractive. You might not run as fast. You might not feel like you're as quick. But you are as important, maybe more important than ever to the work of God. You need to keep going. I have, in my years, come across many a person who had reached their senior years, and I don't let them get old. I keep them busy. I've watched people, it just seemed like they had one foot in a grave. They're giving up. They didn't feel like there was anything more for them. What could they do? What's left? And boy, we just start getting them involved. And before long, they're walking quicker, faster, standing more erect, sharper in mind than what they were, because you know what? They had just decided, I'm growing old and I have no value. But I challenge that. I challenge that greatly. I'm finished, but I want to tell you this. My heart is very heavy, and I'll tell you why. I'm watching church after church after church today leave the old-time religion. They're leaving a stand on the purity of the Bible. They're leaving behind their standards and their convictions. And I'll tell you why. They're following a contemporary modernist movement that is motivated by the youth. I don't want the youth of our church to pave the way. I want the gray hairs of our church to pave the way. The best way for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren to have someday an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church is that all of us that have a few years on us, we stay involved and we keep moving and we help our church to stay what it ought to stay. America will go down the tubes if we turn her over to the youth. And I'm not mad at the youth. God left the gray hairs and God left those with a few miles on them around to help keep this ship afloat. And the right way. Look, we've got some great people in our church. You heard me laugh about a pastor that had asked me a question recently. He said, all I have are a bunch of senior citizens in my church. He said, how can I ever get this thing moving? And I told him, I said, there are a lot of benefits in it. And I told him, I said, that they know how to handle their money. But I'll tell you this. I have watched more than one church that could have gone down the tubes by calling some pastor that was half liberal because he was part of the modern contemporary movement. But you know what happened? The older people in the church said, we don't want nothing to do with that. I've watched the gray hairs pull churches out of a demise because the gray hairs sold. That's not the old time religion. We're not going to have a contemporary service. We're not going to go for the Christian rock. We're not going to go for this thing. You people that have been around a little while, we still believe in people getting married. You understand the term shacking up? You're supposed to get married. You're supposed to live right and do right. And that's how it's supposed to be. Hey, I still believe in people saying yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. And I still think people ought to say please and thank you. And there's some people in here, you've been around a little while, that's where you say amen. And the younger people say, well, what's the big deal? Well, it's a big deal because it's the propriety of the Christian life. And young people, you need to respect those that may walk a little slower and their hair's gray because they're the ones that help make this country great. And let me tell you, this country will go down the tubes if we're not careful because we're going to turn it over to the young people. May I say to those of you that have got a few years on you, rise up and let's make sure that our church stays strong. Amen. You're needed. I wouldn't expect you to run as fast or as far. I just want to know we can jog along and keep this thing on track. God needs. Don't be offended. God said in the ancients, there's wisdom. I'm not calling you ancient. It was His way of saying those who have years of experience, have a wisdom that's valuable in the New Testament church. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. To the young people, I hope you've just listened. To those of you that have been around a while, maybe in your middle years of life, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. Hey, let's keep going for God. If I read you a list of some of the great powerhouse preachers of history, you would find out they went into their 70s and 80s and 90s and kept on going for God. Look, He gave us a life. Let's live it. Let's not die spiritually in a premature fashion. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, I've been challenged. It's been good for me. I've listened. And God has challenged my heart. Would you raise your hand and let God see your hand? God bless you. You may put it down. We're going to have an altar call. If you need a moment at the altar, I want you to come. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? I call the sermon the best years of our life. You say, oh boy, my body, it aches and I've got pains and I don't know. Is it the best years of my life? Oh, I don't know. May not be physically, but it sure could be otherwise. Sure could be otherwise. Let these be the best years. Let them be the best years. God said to Joshua, He said, you're getting a little older, but He said, there is yet land or territory that needs to be possessed. Keep on going. I'll say this, I'm real excited. I look at the ministry that we have called the Young at Heart Ministry. Let me tell you something. You talk about a group of people. It's one of the biggest activity groups in our whole church. They just get in there and get involved. And I like that. I like the fact that one of the biggest crowds when it comes to a secondary type of a crowd around here, not a church service, is it's all those people that are 55 and above. Getting spiritual strength from one another. Staying involved. That's good. That's good. One more time through the song, if you will, Sarah. In a moment, we'll pray and we'll be on our way. Now, nobody wants you to go out and do something stupid and hurt yourself. That's not the intent. But the intent is that you move forward. And you keep moving. And you stay active. Stay involved.